Hey guys, I am fired up tonight. We're going to talk about a brand new tequila that for me is easy to get. It's in Indiana. And I'm sitting here with the owner of this tequila and possibly a future Emmy or Oscar winner, Dominique. Come on, tell everybody who you are and about your tequila here.
Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you all. My name is Dominique Wilkins. I am the founder and the creator of Maxwell Park Tequila. I also am an actor, although I haven't done movies in a little bit of a while because I wanted to focus on giving a quality tequila to the state of Indiana, as well as pay homage to the place where I'm from, which is Maxwell Park. Pleasure to meet you all.
Dude, this is exciting. We've been hanging out talking tequila and tasting through a few tequilas here for a little while. It's been a good time. And Maxwell Park, I learned about it because is it vice president of marketing?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He lives like 2 miles from here. So first, let's talk about your journey. How did you first discover tequila, and where does this excitement for tequila come from?
Yeah, that's easy for the most part. I want to say my discovery of tequila was probably like everybody else's. It was as a party drink, Basically you kind of go to a party. Oh, we're going to do some shots of tequila. You pretty much get your salt, get your lime, and prepare yourself for the worst, so to speak. We weren't drinking high quality tequila when I first came into the fold. Yeah, so that was like my first experience with tequila. Fell in love with it since then and been a partaker ever since.
What got you the idea of starting a brand?
I had bad tequila. Like most people that create anything, the innovation and the idea of creating a brand, it pretty much came from me feeling like there was a problem. And unlike you, Brad, like you can teach a master class, you know, but for the average layperson, and during the time when I did kind of receive inspiration behind tequila, I didn't know anything about it. And so once I tasted bad tequila, the question became, what could happen if I actually was more concerned about the flavor and the quality of the tequila than I was about actually making money?
Sure. I think if you put what your passion is first,
that's damn good.
Your passion, money will follow.
Yeah.
If you chase the money, in my experience, it never comes. You're just always chasing this thing that doesn't show up. So when you give up the thought of, I want to do this to make money, and go, man, I want to share my passion, I want to do this because I love it, then it changes. And that's awesome that that's your mindset behind it.
I was more concerned with having a journey. I made a lot of money before. And what people say, that money doesn't buy happiness, is true. And so it was more for me about a passion and a journey, like creating something that I could leave a legacy and say, you know what, I did my best at that. Mm-hmm. And money wasn't an issue. Now, granted, I do want to make some money, you know,
yeah.
I want to keep the lights on, but I was more concerned with actually doing a good job, only because I felt like there were so many people who didn't care about doing a good job.
Sure.
And money was the focus.
So what was your journey to finding out how to choose a distillery and finding out how to even do this? What was your first step to get started?
That was pretty difficult to do. So initially, the idea was just kind of starting at first base. It's like, okay, if I don't live in Mexico and I don't have access to agave and I don't own a distillery, like, how is this even possible? And so initially, it became a journey of just trying to discover, one, what is required to own a tequila brand, the legality part of it, as well as finding out what kind of distilleries that you need to contact and have relationships with and things like that. It is very much la familia. This is not my checkbook is so big that I can just write a check, you guys build it for me. That really is not how tequila is cultivated from a Mexican heritage kind of perspective. For them, it is absolutely about family. And if you are not la familia, if you are not a person of character, a person of quality, and you don't honor the tradition and honor the heritage and care about the craft, you're not somebody they want to do business with. So there's a huge vetting process that takes place where they expect for you to actually shine through character-wise before they ever even say, yes, we'll take you on as a client. So the first thing that I had to do was get past the gatekeepers. do all of these things first, and then we'll consider talking to you and having a conversation. That probably took about 2 years.
Thank goodness you didn't end up contacting one of the production distilleries first that just said, what do you want it to taste like? And can you write a check? Cause you know, I feel like there's two groups there, right? You found a distillery that says, no, we want to interview you versus let us send you 7 Blanco profiles and you can taste it.
And I would say the scary part about that is you're absolutely right. There are a ton of conduits out there where it's like, oh yeah, you know what? You want to create a tequila brand? We'll help you create a tequila brand. We know all of these people that you don't know, and you just cut us a check and we'll do all the work for you. But what ends up happening is you kind of end up, in my opinion, with a product that you really can't stand behind because you don't know anything about it.
No, and most of the people that watch this go also that tastes like garbage.
Yeah. Well, without saying that, he said it.
So how did you find $14.99? Like what was your travel, your journey to find them?
Great question. So while literally just reaching out and studying and trying to educate myself, it became more of a search for distilleries that, number one, did not use additives.
Right.
Distilleries that had been around for more than 20 years or close to 20 years, and distilleries that were family owned is what I was concerned about. I didn't care about the bigger brands or the bigger distilleries that would just take people on. What I was concerned about was quality, who has character. I want to talk to them. And so I talked to probably maybe about 4 or 5 different distilleries before I actually had a conversation. Shout out to Catherine, because she is the one that made all this possible.
That's awesome.
Catherine was the gatekeeper. And so once I reached out to Acives, Catherine called me back and she said, oh, well, you're interested. Okay. And she gives me a short spiel of, you know, what that looks like. And the conversation kind of just took off from there.
Awesome. So did you then fly down there and meet with them, or did you do some things?
They didn't give me the opportunity, Brad. It was more or less like, okay, you're considering. Well, we're considering you.
Okay.
So it was a whole bunch of, you need to do all of these things first because we don't know if you're serious.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So they basically, Catherine, she gave me a laundry list of things that needed to be done first. Contact your attorneys. You got to do this. You got to do that. Where's your trademark? Yes.
Okay.
She basically told me that I wasn't ready to even have a conversation about a tequila brand at all because I had nothing that could stand behind it.
Right.
So at that point, I was like, okay, I got a whole lot of work to do. And so at that point, then that's when the journey kind of began. And it became pretty much a day-to-day process of getting things done. And when I say it was every bit of 2 years of getting things done, that's literally what I did for 2 years, was nothing but paperwork.
Yeah, you found out how easy the CRT is to work with, and America, how easy they are to work with, and all of the branches of government that it takes. And then finding out that you can't just make tequila and bring it home and sell it. You got to get an importer and a distributor. And
the first person that's going to break your heart is going to be your attorney. When you got to file that trademark, because that's one of the primary things that you have to do before you can even have a tequila company. And they call you and they say, yeah, you can't use that name.
Right.
Why? Because, there's a plethora of people that are
already have that name. Yeah. Not only in America, but also in Mexico.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. Trezzy, thank you, dog. Thank you.
When you listen to the stories of these brand owners that have worked so hard, and then you know, the stories of they put their label out and one thing's wrong and CRT makes them change their entire label, or hundreds and thousands of labels being redone to bring it into the country.
Yeah.
You realize how truly regulated this is. So, okay, let's dive into the tequila itself a little bit. What kind of agaves are you using? Where are they coming from?
These agaves are coming out of the Highlands.
Okay.
One thing that is unique about the Highlands that I did not know, which is absolutely incredible, is the soil in the Highlands is red, which I'm sure you already are educated on. I almost want to say it looks like very similar to paprika.
Alabama.
Yes.
Alabama, yes. Georgia type iron full soil.
Yes. And so the Acives family actually owns I would be lying if I told you how
many hectares.
Yes. They had taking us out to, I can't remember which portion of the family field that it was, but we were only the second people, myself as well as my partner, Jay Norris. We were only the second people to make it out to the actual fields itself. The grandfather had bought the land, I forget how many years ago, and gave it to the son.
Mm-hmm.
The son started cultivating tequila and turned around and gave it to the Aceves brothers that I now work with.
Isn't that cool?
It's been in the family for a very, very long time, but they are Highland agave. So we deal with a much sweeter agave than you get from the lowlands. We don't do the immature agave as well. We look at 5 to 7 years as far as how we actually pull and pick our agave. In addition to that, we make sure that the agave has already started the natural fermentation process. And what that means is they look for the brown spots on the agave to make sure that it's ready to be picked, because some of them are bigger than others. You can't necessarily determine if one is ready to be picked always based upon the size of it.
Or time. Size and time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's having that jimadora that knows this agave is ready and skipping through a field, or having someone go, this one. That's awesome. That's good to know that they're doing that. So when you got started with them, mm-hmm. did you work with them to create the profile?
Yes. So once I got past the vetting process and they finally said yes, and what that looked like was, once I had accomplished, X, Y, and Z in the way of getting all of the legalities taken care of, Catherine says, well, they're going to be in Las Vegas at a trade show, and I think that you should go down there and you should speak with Jose and the account executive uni. She's going to be there. And I was like, okay, you know what? Forget it. This might've been Thursday. And she's like, yeah, they're going to be there Saturday. So I flew to Vegas, go down there, and I meet them. And I have a conversation with uni. Uni is the account executive. She says, oh, let me introduce you to Jose. He's the CEO of the company. We sit down, we talk, we have conversations. We talk about the different aspects of tequila. Again, I'm still going through the educational process.
So you're still pretty green when it comes to the process.
Yeah. And so they finally give me the green light. And he's like, okay, yeah, we'll take you on as a client. So I come back home, I'm like, whoopee. And then so the next conversation is, what kind of tequila do you want to make? I was thinking, well, I didn't know that there were varying. I know that there's a Reposado and a Añejo, a Mezcal, a Joven. I knew the basics, or maybe the surface level of understanding. And then so they say, well, you need to come on down to the Andes. And you come to the distillery, we'll sit down, we'll have a conversation. We can start working on a flavor profile. We sit down at a table. They pull out different brands. Here, taste this. This is made for cocktails. These right here are made for drinking neat. These are made for shots. What type of tequila do you want to make?
Sure.
Some are richer in flavor notes because you want to add different flavors to those, but you still want tequila to shine through. Some are made for just ice because you want to just sip the tequila and you want to enjoy it as it is, so you don't need any additional products. And so I went with the sipping. Being a bourbon guy, because I'm also a bourbon guy, the idea of being able to sip tequila as we're doing now,
yeah,
versus needing to do a shot.
Right.
I was like, no, this is the way you drink it.
Yeah.
This is how. And shout out to my Hispanic community. They helped me understand by watching them. This is how they drink tequila.
Right.
It is not a shot. They sit and they talk and they share and they just sip.
It's part of family tradition. It's completely different than what us crazy gringos, when you go look at the depth of mezcal and how families use mezcal for celebrations and birthdays and as medicine, there's.
Yes.
I mean, it goes to this whole nother level of agave spirits than what we do with tequila. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So when you were talking to them, you were probably pretty strong that you wanted no additives, just yeast, water, and agave, right? Or did you even know that was a thing?
I didn't know.
Mm.
When I say green, I was as green as they come. I was still a student at that point. And so I was more focused on flavor and taste. And I'm like, hey, let's add this. Let's do this, because here's what I'm looking for. And they stopped me. They're like, oh, no, sir. We don't do any of that here.
Mm.
It is going to be 100% pure. It is going to be fermented the right way. It is going to be distilled the right way. We don't add sugar. We don't add flavor. We don't add anything to it other than yeast, thyme, and agave.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I can tell, I can, you know, 99 times out of 100, I can pick up if there's some form of additive or something in tequila. And I'm always afraid when somebody reaches out and they, man, I want you to taste my tequila and review it on my show. And I'm like, okay. And some of them are on a table that's over there. And I don't review them. I've said many times, I've had people say, why do you never talk about a tequila you don't like? And it's because I understand something. This is somebody's baby.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you've all had a mom hand you their baby that's uglier than a mug. And you've got to go, oh, it's cute. It's cute. You don't go, good Lord, I'd have gave it back. Right. So when it comes to tequila and people's brands, I'm not here to crush somebody. And I've had brands where I say, look, I got some great master distillers and some friends that I could direct you to. So I was so nervous when he brought the tequila over because I didn't know anything about it. I don't know a lot about $14.99, but I always go to the open mind, yeah, right? Yeah, and the very first glass, I'm like, okay, cooked agave. It's got agave forward. It's got a nice sweetness to it. Don't pick up anything.
Yeah.
And so a couple of days, and you can tell I've partook, right? So
a
few days later, I'm like, ah, let's bust that again. It's been open for a little while. You know, sometimes something will show up after it's been sitting there. No, you know, no saccharin flavor, no glycerin feel, no, you know. So from there, you know, I'm like, okay, I am impressed. It's feels to me like a very clean tequila, why I wanted to talk.
When I say I tried, because again, I'm green.
You did good.
Literally. Me and my business partner, we ordered organic flavors, and we're sitting around in the kitchen, and we've picked up a baseline tequila that we kind of considered that would be about where we think we should be,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we didn't have a product yet, and we're sitting playing with droppers and, you know, adding this and simple sugar and that, and we're trying to come up with a profile. We sent that list to them.
They're like, what the hell?
We got an email back so fast. Oh, we can't add any of it.
Gringo, no.
And we're back like, we will buy the product. We'll send it down to you. And they're like, we don't do any of that at all. It will be 100% pure. You can explain to us what kind of flavor profile you want, what kind of notes that you like.
Right.
We will take that description and we will curate what you want, but it's going to be done naturally.
And we tweak it through fermentation, tweak it through distillation. So let's just talk about it. So cooking, is it autoclave?
There's both.
Okay.
We use autoclave and we also have a brick oven as well.
Okay.
The cooking time will vary between about 18 to 24 hours.
Okay.
But that is also cooked under pressure, but we also add water with ours during the cooking process.
Sure. So you're doing steam fed. So are you doing more autoclave than stone oven, or are they doing a share to both?
It's a share to both.
Okay. So you're cooking some in a stone oven, uh-huh. and probably some high pressure autoclave. Yeah. Okay.
Put those together.
So then when they bring that out of both, then are you doing roller mill for extraction?
Yes, we do a roller mill where they shred it and then they add a little bit of water.
Yeah. You clean the water through each one, probably a 3 to 5 pass roller mill.
Yep.
It's pretty normal. And then from there, you're taking that musto. Are you going into stainless steel fermentation tanks?
We are going to stainless steel.
Okay. And then are you guys adding any kind of yeast to start the process? Or is it all just natural wild fermentation?
No, they are adding yeast to it, which I can't tell you.
Probably a proprietary yeast, yeah, right? Yeah, which is common.
We do use a blend of different yeast because, again, what we were looking for is to give you the sweetness of the agave.
Mm-hmm.
So that it has more of a reposado feel to it in the way that your tongue processes the sugars.
It's a little softer. It doesn't have a super agave bite. So before we get to my next piece, I'll ask you, because where I feel like that normally comes from, are you doing, is it copper pots or is it stainless steel pots? Or
stainless steel.
Stainless steel copper coil or is it all stainless steel?
Nope, copper coil.
Copper coil for both Ordinario and tequila? So you get twice distilled? So
yes.
Both copper? Okay.
Yes.
And then, so a lot of times I explain it this way a lot, and it's the way that I've been taught by a lot of people. So we've taken this plant that's grown 6 to 8 years, right? Mm-hmm. and we yank it out of the ground. We chop all the pinkas off. We take it into a building. Within 48 hours, we cook the crap out of it. Then we yank it out of there and we shred it. We crush it. And then we throw all this liquid in these tanks and it ferments and it changes. And then we distill it. We run it through this temperature, cook it out, distill all the everything but the alcohols out, and we create this tequila. Molecularly, we have destroyed what it was.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't go straight to bottle. A lot of people will go to a rest before it's bottled. Are you resting before
they are letting it rest.
Are you doing stainless steel?
It rests in the tank. Yes, it does.
Okay, in a stainless steel tank. Do you know if they're aerating that at all?
That part I don't.
Okay, because and that's not, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So G4, the Artinom 1579 is an aerated product that's been rested before they bottle.
That part I don't know.
And this has, it's approachable as a Blanco. And to me, it has a touch that is maybe an aerated that softens it a little bit. But it could be softened both in fermentation and distillation. But that rest is important. And I get that. So that's great. So let's talk about Maxwell Park, because you and I are sitting in the Indianapolis area. You've been in Indianapolis for, I don't know, you look like you're maybe 27, 28 years old.
I wish.
I look like I'm 64.
Wish.
So how many years have you been in Indianapolis?
I have been in Indianapolis since 1999.
Okay. And so you grew up in, I believe that's Oakland, California.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, when you're talking to Californians, you got to be specific about the region of California you're from. I grew up in East Oakland.
Okay. California. But you're a NorCal guy. Yeah. Yeah. So NorCal, East Oakland. So does that mean
Oakland
you
Raiders?
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. So Oakland Raider fan. And Maxwell Park, that's a place where you and your partner kind of grew up. Is that right?
No. So my partner, Jay Norris, he's actually from Indiana. That's me. Yeah. And so, you know, to kind of add a little bit of education to the backstory, you know, I started this prior to speaking with my business partner.
Okay.
And what basically happened is Maxwell Park started to grow, and I'm working, and I'm pretty much, think of it as, I'm more of the aircraft tower guy. You know, I'm great with the office and providing direction. Jay is more of the pilot on the plane.
Okay.
That I'm speaking to. It's like, you know, we kind of need to go here. I need you to get to 30,000 feet, and then I need you to set it down here. He's good at that. So he was good at that prior to me contacting him.
Gotcha.
So when I started, you know, Maxwell Park, I kind of knew at some point in time, I think I'm going to need help, because it started to evolve into something that more than one guy can do. And so I basically went to him and said, hey, here's what I'm doing. I need you. I know you got other things going on, and I'm asking you to set those things aside because I need you to help me build this brand.
Right.
And then so he was like, okay. And so Maxwell Park, as a brand, had already been filed with the federal government, the trademark. I was basically just waiting on it to finish, but that's actually the neighborhood that I came from.
Okay, so that's the neighborhood you grew up in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you're honoring your legacy with this tequila, which is very cool.
Yeah. And the inspiration behind Maxwell Park was to get people to come back together, because life has become so complicated for all of us, whether it's your politics or your religion, your socioeconomical background. Like people now kind of live very siloed. And when I was a kid, it wasn't that way. When I was a kid, like, I knew who my neighbors were. They knew me. They knew my grandparents. They knew my mother and my father, you know, whether I was, you know, 10 houses away from my home or I was across town, because Maxwell Park was that. You would wake up on a Saturday or a Friday or a Sunday, and you could just go to the park because you knew there was going to be other people there, and they didn't care whether you played basketball or football. The thing, nobody cared. We just wanted to be around each other because it was a safe haven for people just to be around people. And then what I realized is that everybody has a Maxwell Park.
Mm-hmm.
I just put a name and a bottle to it, but we all have a Maxwell Park.
100%. And you know, mine is Mexico.
See?
Like it is, I don't feel more around people that are friends and family anywhere than when I go to Mexico. And that's been for many, many years. So it's the legacy and the family and the invitedness is so there. And here, and I wish we were more, less focused on, you know, who's wearing the jeans and all of this stuff. It's like, come on, you know, why can't we all just get along a little bit? I, you know, there's probably things you and I disagree with. There's probably more things that we agree with. And
exactly.
Why not focus on the things that we care about that we agree with? Then I don't like this food, or I don't like this politics, or but we both can agree we don't like the Casamigos. I said it. I said it.
I'm
not a brand.
I am a fan.
Well, I love George Clooney. I mean, he's a great actor. And when we talk about that tequila, I joke, right? It changed a lot when it became a tequila that was sold. Before it was sold, you know, their ideas in the word Casamigos is the fact that they owned a duplex in San Jose del Cabo, and they were house friends. They owned a duplex. They were Casamigos, and they wanted a tequila brand, and they went out and they found a great tequila brand. We joke about them, and you know, I can't wait to see what happens with this Diego lawsuit with Don Julio and Casamigos. It's a little disheartening of some of the things I've read, but well, let's see what happens, you know, but we can joke about it.
Yeah, we can. And the truth, though, honestly, you know, we can joke about it, you know, because the story behind Casamigos, it absolutely embodies what Maxwell Park is about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when he sat down and created that was community.
Family.
Yeah. They were drinking that. That's right. What they were enjoying. That wasn't a product on the shelf, because it wasn't about money. It was about togetherness.
Right.
We are here and we are enjoying this together, because what's more important than enjoying a moment with the people that matter the most to you?
Right.
That's what it was about. The story, like, it'll give you chills because it's just incredible.
It blew up, you know, good for them. Right. And then I think a lot of people
made $1 billion. If somebody wants to give me $1 billion
in like 11 months. All right, we're going to figure out how to come. So a lot of these big celebrities followed that. They jumped on board. And I can't, I'm an entrepreneur. I've had multiple businesses. I'm a business owner today. I'm not mad at you for being an entrepreneur and figure out how to make money. It's what it's all about. So I appreciate you keeping it to tradition, right? And doing the traditional things. And so where can people find you? What states are you in right now?
Well, the good news is you can order me in every single state with the exception of Utah, Alabama, Arkansas, Wisconsin, and Hawaii. And go to mptequila.com and you can order your tequila. It will show up to your doorstep. Now, of course, you have an ID. You have to have an ID because
they're going to check you.
That you are over 21 to consume. But yeah, you can actually order from the website.
And you're available right here in Indiana, right?
Yes,
I can go anywhere in Indiana.
Yep, I am in Indiana.
Okay, so before we leave this, I got one other question, because I think this is pretty cool and I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask you because they don't know yet. So tell me about this topper.
So initially the name of the brand was called El Criado, which means the king. And so I met with a friend of mine who owns a consulting firm. He was like, okay, El Criado. He was like, yeah, that's a great name. And, you know, of course it's in Spanish. So he says, well, he looks at me, says, Don, he said, do you speak Spanish? I said, well, I mean, not really. I mean, I know like the basics, but No, he said, do you know anybody else that speaks Spanish? I said, no, I don't know anybody who speaks Spanish. He said, why does it have a Spanish name? And I was dumbfounded. I said, well, because all tequila has a Spanish name. He said, but you're not Mexican and you don't speak Spanish. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
And of course, at that point, I'm doing like I'm doing now. I was kind of scratching my brow because I don't understand where he's going with this. And he says, well, first of all, he said, you know, like, I understand that. But what does El Criado mean? I said, it means the king. And he was like, OK, but that has nothing to do with you. You're not a king and you can't tie anything to that. And so by that time, I had already had a designer working on the actual
tile.
Which was actually a round crown initially, almost like, you know, that you would see on you know, knights of one of the fairy tale movies.
Kings,
that
we see. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I switched from that and I said, you know, I want something a little more unique versus a traditional crown. Let's design something that stands out a little bit more. And so he came up with this concept of it.
Right.
We got away from the whole idea of being the king, but the crown was so cool. I was like, yeah, I can't walk away from that design.
That's very cool.
Because it's really, really incredible. And so the letter M that is on that crown is because this is out of the first batch. And so what will happen is the crowns will change, number one. As this one is a matte silver, there will also be a black. There'll be a gold. There'll be a crystal one. But the letters will change so that you can spell the word Maxwell. When you spell the word Maxwell and you send them in to us, you are going to get an X Factor bottle that will not be released to the public at all.
That's very cool.
It will be a special signature bottle. It will come from the palate of myself, as well as my partner and the master distiller. We will all correlate to create something really, really special and unique. We will not sell it. That will be a thank you to the public for your faithfulness in trusting us with your tequila choice of spirits to consume. And that will never go to anybody but the people who collect the bottles.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Amount of bottles that will go out, but it's sure. A lot of fun to do.
So this is just me being a tequila nerd. I'm picturing the gold one being a Reposado, maybe the matte black one being an Añejo, maybe the next one being an XA, maybe some really special still strength. Like, are you in that mode of going, look, I want to have 5, 6, 7 different SKUs and single barrels? Or are you just sticking Blanco?
No. The Platinum Blanco, we're letting you know what our potential is. We're walking through the door up here, not down here. We're walking through the door very, very high. So that way you know that the Maxwell Park brand is associated with high level of quality. We're never going to stoop down. And we're a small batch tequila. We're going to make sure that it's right. We're not concerned about trying to satisfy these corporate ideas of what a brand should be.
Sure.
We're more associated with the quality aspect of what we do. So as far as the next brand, it's like Christmas. We're not even going to tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to do it.
It's all right. Very, very That's high awesome.
Quality. Very high quality.
Well, I see a lot of good things coming. So
yeah,
we'll get a review. I'll put a review out here on this in a few weeks. And dude, I appreciate you coming all the way over here and sharing your story. And I appreciate the tequila to try out. And
thank you for your hospitality.
This is awesome.
Thank you for having us on. There's nothing like being at home.
Yeah.
You know, we support everything local. And with you being here, it's a godsend. So well, thank you
I appreciate that. This is fun. You know, it's a big hobby of mine and I love it. And I have a couple bottles to talk about.
Yeah, a couple.
I know a little bit about tequila.
This guy is he could teach a master class. I'm just letting you know. In case you don't know, if you have a tequila brand and you want to be interviewed, I'll say it that way, and you think it's quality, here's who you need to contact and talk to.
I appreciate that. Thank
you. Literally, he could teach a master class.
You know, everything that I know has come to me from the people that I'm with, the master distillers, the brand owners, the people that have shared so much with me over the last year and then multi-years of drinking together. That's where it comes from. It's not from me. It's from the people who have helped me and taught me this. So I appreciate all of those brands that have been on and all of the people that send me tequila and all the people that answer my phone calls when I have questions and why it's this community is amazing. It blows me away.
Yeah. And see, I love that, you know, and two, and I know we're getting ready to cut, but that's one thing that I can say that I love about Indiana. Indiana, shout out to you. Yes, I'm from California, but I have to give you a full salute. Indiana is 100% about supporting its own, and they will actually stand behind you as long as you are 100% about what is right in the way of quality and in the way of what is right about character.
Yep.
Like I absolutely love that about Indiana, because this is incredible that there's a platform available for entrepreneurs like me. And again, I'm first generation. We're just going to get better from here. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm very excited about the future. And I love the opportunity to speak to the people and let them know what is happening and what we're going to do. It's just a blessing.
Well, cheers, my friend.
I need more. I drink all mine.
Okay. Well, let's pour him another glass. And let's say if you're watching Chicago Fire or Chicago PD, or did you say Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah.
Fast and Furious. So now you've got to watch for him and find him on one of the shows. And then I'm going to say that if you find him on a show and you send me a clip of it in the DMs, I'm going to make sure that you get a bottle of Maxwell Park.
Yes.
We're going to make that happen.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. Thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you.